Hello and welcome to part two of How I Got Into Radio. Well, it is Rothers here, keep you company on Bradley Soap Radio 103.4 FM. I'm online at bradleysoapradio.com. But I am jumping way ahead of myself. Some 21 years ago, actually. Let's go back to 1996 instead of that, okay? When I was at YMCA Radio Barnsley on, I think in those days, 106 point something FM. No internet, no online, no emails, no texts, and all the rest of it that we get nowadays. Oh, good God knows. And we'll just let this ambulance go past. Anyway, and so there I am. Okay, we've got the interview stage, and I've been made a producer of an afternoon show, of the afternoon show, Taz, the afternoon zone. Remember it well. Okay, which was ironic, really, because the only time I actually physically felt into said radio studio and radio station was on a Friday afternoon. Rest of the week, Monday and Thursday, I was at college up the road on Honeywell, and at Honeywell campus on the Huddersfield Road, I think it was. Huddersfield. I can't remember. Anyway, and so I would be in charge of the program. How the hell I was supposed to be in charge of a program which I knew nothing about? Now, Elaine, I forget to say that. I never did know her, but she was all known. Her own name was Elsie. I initials L and C. E. Yeah, L, no, Elsie, that's it, yeah. And she was the presenter. And she'd done to the community stations in Middlesex, in Greenford, in Middlesex, West London. And Hospital Radio as well, I think. So she knew the drill. She knew what an audience wanted. She knew how to present, which, let's be honest, none of us knew how to. And anyway, so she did that, and I would go in on the, and I used to want to be in the studio. So I wanted to be in the studio with her to watch, to learn, to observe, you know, what she was doing, because she was clearly a pro. Come on out. She was a pro, even. Back in 1995, November 95, when we had the then radio authority gave us the go-ahead to do an RSL, restricted service license, which meant that you're broadcast in 28 days to give it its full terminology. So it's a license, but you're restricted in 28 days, and you're in service to such a frequency that has such a geographic area, rather, on the dial. So I remember the transmitter was at Kingstone School, and I think the transmitter was literally put beside the M1 because the school grounds bordered the M1. Between Leeds and Sheffield, okay, and which is why in a later edition of this program I'm going to tell you a story about how a local commercial station, the independent local radio station in them days, Hallam FM down in Sheffield, bear in mind prior to us coming on, that's all you had. You had BBC Radio Sheffield, you had Hallam FM from Sheffield. If you were lucky, you could probably pick up BBC Radio Leeds from Woodhouse Lane, up there in Leeds, and possibly Radio Air, which was a Leeds commercial station there at the time. And if you're really lucky, you might even pick up, Pennine Radio from Bradford. Tell me you can listen thinking, God, I remember Radio Air, I remember Pennine Radio, I remember Radio Hallam, and all those sets. And, or Hallam FM, let's say, suddenly renamed themselves, trying to be hip and cool in the 90s, you know. And, so, We were the new kids on the block, quite literally. And, yeah, we'd done this thing. We had cassettes. Okay, remember those? Back in the 90s, folks, remember those cassettes which we recorded all our jingles and all our adverts on? And we did this thing. And if anybody wants us at the community radio station now, here's a tip, okay? Get and to talking to potential advertisers. You've got to do that anyway, because it's 50% of your income nowadays under Ofcom rules, right? Say you've got to get those, you can get those from advertisers, okay? But get local advertisers on board. And then say, right, we're going to be doing so many ad breaks per hour, okay? And we're going to do this in this order. And now we rotated them. Okay, we had about possibly 9 potential adverts, which we would rotate over. This is particularly the second RSL we did, okay, in November. Sorry, yeah, no, July, June 1996. Okay, and but we'd had this whole rotation of ads, and we said to the ad, right, we're gonna play this, you're gonna go out this time, you're gonna go this time, you're gonna go this time, you're gonna go that time, that time, that time, Y, X, Y, yep. And they were happy with it because they wanted us to succeed, so they were quite happy that, okay, yeah, the primary school goes first. I can't remember what the other adverts were, actually. Another advert would go second, and third in that slot. And then in the other slot, it'd be X, Y, Z, and Joe Bloggs, Tom Mac Services or something. I can't remember what the hell it was, to be perfectly honest with you. And we managed to get them to do that. And we managed to successfully say, listen, yeah, we need you, you need us. So it was a... And it is now, even more so now, in community radio. We need you, you need us, okay? Right? Possibly not so much Alaska, so anyway, and we can go to local papers. We can go to the bigger boys. Yeah, you go to the bigger boys, commercial radio, and be paying Christ knows what for a 10-second advert. We're doing that on the cheap, very, very much on the cheap, and we're happy to do that for you on the cheap, because, you know, community, build a bond, that's the thing. Again, if you want to set up a community radio station, build a bond with your community, because that is the done thing. And so, anyway, we had this, and so I was a producer back in the first RSL in 1995, I think it was November 1995, and anyway, I was a producer. How the heck have I got made a producer? No experience whatsoever. I was actually buying books and going to the college library thinking, Jesus, what the hell is a producer? And of course, we didn't have the internet, no Google or anything like that in them days. So I couldn't just say, what the hell is a radio producer do? What they're supposed to do? What's expected of them? You know, that was scary as hell. And anyway, so I go into studio on a Friday, okay. And we'd be there saying to ourselves, okay, we're gonna play this, and this is what we're... And I remember Elaine saying to me, say, what do we ought to play? Now, I have to confess, back in 1995, my musical knowledge was shite. 100% shite. Okay, the only music I ever heard, okay, was on Desert Island Discs, on Radio 4, and possibly on Classic FM. That was it. That was my total sum of musical knowledge. I was brought up on talk radio, Radio 4, Five Live, Blaze Lively, you know. And I actually, do you know what, I used to go to the Bath and West show, which used to be a big, still big agricultural show, 3-day show in Shelton Mallet in Somerset, not many miles from Pilton, where the Glastonbury Festival is, okay. And in those days, back in the early 80s, well, mid-80s, late 80s, HTV West, which was the then ITV station for broadcaster for this, well, part of South West England, so Bristol, Somerset, Gloucestershire, Wiltshire, parts of Dorset. And they'd have this big set, and I picked up this window sticker, it was almost a car sticker really, for Radio West. Now, Radio West was a commercial station in Bristol, here in Bristol, okay? And they were in Watershed initially. And then they were having trouble getting sponsorship or advertising, whatever. Anyway, they had to merge with Wiltshire Radio to become GWR in, what, late 80s, I think it was. Anyway, but I had this car sticker, okay, and I put it in my window in Kenton Mandeville. In South Somerset Village in Queensbury, which nobody in those days would go down. The only traffic you would get back in those days were people going off to work and coming back home from work. And that was it. It was off the beaten track, quite literally. So I had this sticker, right, this window sticker of Radio West in my bedroom window. And they'd said on the back of it, right, if we spot your sticker, and you can answer a question about pop music, you can win the prize. And I actually used to shit myself. No word of a lie, I would shit myself thinking, oh, Jesus Christ. They can ask me a question about pop. I used to hate pop music. I would turn, in those days, I would turn off Top of the Pops on a Thursday night on BBC One, 7:30, I think it was 7 o'clock in them days. I would turn off BBC One. Quick, put on HTV. God, there we go. Shit, what's on BBC Two? Okay, yeah. Oh, God. Channel 4? Quick! Anything! Video! Put the video on, you know. Because I used to, I was absolutely, oh, God. Absolutely bad, you know, at pop music. I wouldn't know a bloody thing about pop music. I knew shag all about pop music. Okay, the only thing I got interested in 1986 was Star Trooper on the Starship Enterprise. Can't say it now. I think that was the title song. God, they don't ask me who sang it. Which group? You all know, all you pop aficionados, is really say, I need another drink, and to say, that's what it, but I used to absolutely be petrified, okay, and I mean petrified, and then turning me, and say, do you know what this week's number one is? Number 20 was the number one, for crying out loud. So anyway, I digress, okay, and there we are, in the studio, on a Friday night afternoon, between 2 and 4, I think it was, I forget which, anyway, only time I get out of college to do it, and so ironic, because obviously, no, I think actually Elaine Venice, even in the second year, I was in my first year of college, uni. Yeah. Anyway, so she was able to get dispensation or something, even Jordan tutor, I think. And so she'd be there, and I'd be there. And I'd be desperate wanting to get into, like I said earlier, I'd desperate want to get into studio and watch her film. And more importantly, say, what a bloody desk, broadcast desk, you know. Because when, so what I was going to say earlier, YMCA Radio Barnsley had two studios, and